Well, today we're going to look at the second cluster of fruit. And in the second cluster of fruit, these are types of fruit that have to do with how we are with our outward relationships. So the first cluster, Godward relationships, other people can see it. Second cluster is how we treat one another. Whether that one another is a believer, a follower of Christ, or not. Before we go any further, I want to point out this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit or about the Spirit. There are things in Scripture or there are gifts in Scripture called the gifts of the Spirit. And different people have different gifts. And you can find lists of gifts here and there, but things like teaching or hospitality or gifts like service or various other gifts. You can see in Romans chapter 12, there's a list of, I think there's seven in that list. And different believers have different gifts to serve one another with. But the fruit of the Spirit is not something that we have a few of or people have differently. All believers should experience or all believers should put off all of these fruit. So you can't say I have the fruit of the Spirit, my fruit of the Spirit is love and yours can be a joy. It doesn't work that way. You can't say I have kindness, but I'm not gonna have peace. That's not my fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't work that way. We have different gifts of the Spirit, but we should all experience and we should all demonstrate these nine fruit of the Spirit. So, what I want to do is look at the second cluster today. And I'm going to read to you from Galatians. We'll read the same portion of Scripture. We'll list them all, but we'll focus on the three in the middle. So Galatians chapter 5, again, verse 22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We talked about those last week. Patience, kindness, goodness. We'll talk about those this week. Faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What he means by that is if you look a little higher in this portion of Scripture, he has given us a list of sinful passions and desires. And he's contrasting. That's the way you used to live, but this is how you should live now. And since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. So today I want us to look at this second cluster of fruit. And I want us to know that when the Spirit controls us, he says we should live by the Spirit, we should follow the Spirit. When he controls us, he works to transform us so that these little buds of patience, these little buds of kindness, these little buds of goodness begin to blossom and they bear fruit. So today, let's look at these three. The first one we're going to look at is the character of patience. Now remember, these are characteristics. These are what should define us as Christians. We should have patience. Patience is often translated in Scripture by, if you have something that's like the King James Version or a version that translates along those lines, it translates patience as long-suffering. That's not exactly what we want, right? We don't want to suffer long. We don't want to suffer at all. But it's translated long-suffering. Interesting, the Hebrew behind that means long-nosed. You're supposed to have a big nose when it comes to patience. I think the way we do it in English, our idiom would be something like this. You should have a long fuse. It should be a long time before you blow up. You should be patient, long-nosed, long-suffering, have a long fuse. And ideally, that fuse gets cut off and you start over again because you are patient. God is described as long-nosed, long-suffering, patient with people. Thank God for that, right? He was patient with me. He's patient with you. Long-suffering or patience is steadfastness under provocation. Let me say that another way. Patience is steadiness under pressure. You ever been under pressure? And you can just be steady and keep going. That's patience. I'll never forget, I was at a hospital one time during a tragedy. And it was an ongoing tragedy. And one individual kept his cool when he could have lost it. Everyone else around him is losing it. They are emotional. They're upset, validly. But the one individual just keeps his cool. And finally they say, "I don't understand how you could have this cool. I don't understand how you're not so upset." And the statement was, somebody's got to be level-headed. Somebody's got to be able to make decisions. That's an example of patience, of long-suffering, of being under pressure but being steady. But interestingly, long-suffering, that term suffering gets connected with it, that sometimes we have to learn patience because we are treated in a negative way. We are ill-treated, and you've got to learn to be patient through that. When someone treats you badly, how do you respond? Are you someone who gets angry, who has retaliation? Do you seek out revenge? How do you respond when someone doesn't treat you well? Are you patient? Or do you blow your fuse? This fruit of the Spirit is demonstrated in how we treat others. Notice that. We are patient not with God, although sometimes it seems like we have to be patient. But really, we're patient with others. When people look at us, they should see patience. We should see this fruit show up when we treat other people. But here's the deal. If we're irritable, if we are always vengeful, if we are resentful, if we become malicious toward others, in reality, we're short-suffering. We've got a short fuse, and we are not being controlled by the Spirit. So if this describes you, Paul says later, we are to crucify that, and we're to walk by the Spirit. We just read earlier in Colossians where he talks about us having patience in another aspect, another part of Scripture. Patience is closely related to these testings and these trials in the Bible. If you go to James says, count it all joy when there's testing. Count it all joy when you have to be patient. Consider Joseph. Bible character in Genesis, toward the end of Genesis, in the 40s, chapters 40s and up to chapter 50. Joseph is this young man. He's young and he says some dumb things. He's kind of gloatful, it seems, because his daddy likes him more than the others. He gives him special clothes and he tells his dreams about how one day he's going to be the man. And he ends up being sold into slavery into Egypt. And when he's in Egypt, he gets thrown in jail and forgotten about. And Joseph is long-suffering. Joseph is patient. Joseph allows his character to develop and allows God to change him and allows him to be steady under pressure. Because when Joseph finally gets out of jail, when someone finally remembers Joseph, Joseph is put in charge of basically all of Egypt. Imagine if Joseph wouldn't have been patient. Imagine if Joseph would have been revengeful or he would have been malicious toward others. When his brothers came to get grain and not recognizing them, he could have easily had them killed. But Joseph demonstrates patience. Patience is our ability to face trouble without blowing up. And here's a little side note. Sometimes we can control with people, but when we get home, we will blow up at the people who don't deserve it. At your spouse, at your children. And if you stop and you think, you're not really upset with them. You're not really blowing up because of them, but it's because you held it together in another instance and you blew up at them. When we keep our patience with them as well is when we're being controlled by the Spirit. Anybody can kind of hold their stuff together and blow up later. But if you keep that and you let that go and you have this steadiness without blowing up, that's true patience. Interesting, the counterfeit of patience is cynicism and a lack of care. It's saying, oh, that's not important enough for me. That's not true patience. That's just a lack of concern. It's apathy. So in your life, are you someone who is steady under pressure? Or are you someone who gets angry and is vengeful and has malice? You have would you be described by your family, particularly, as having a long fuse or a short fuse? Where are you at in this fruit? Are you giving off fruit that's patient? Or are you blowing up? The second fruit of the Spirit I want to notice today is the fruit of kindness. It's this character of kindness. Sometimes it's translated as gentleness. So gentleness and kindness, when it comes in Scripture, is the kindness that pervades and it just penetrates our whole nature. In other words, we're not kind sometimes. We're not kind just to certain people. We're not kind so we can get something out of them. It just describes us totally. We are kind in everything we do. And God says that should characterize my children. I met a lot of church people who we would not describe as kind. And that's a shame. Jesus is our best example of all of these, but if we think about this one here, kindness, Jesus does stuff he doesn't have to. Jesus doesn't have to heal the sick. Jesus doesn't have to feed the 5,000. Jesus doesn't have to cast out demons. Jesus doesn't have to keep his mouth shut when he's before Pilate or the Sanhedrin, but he does. He is our ultimate example, but we can look at him here in how he does things that are just kindness. He shows us patience. He shows us kindness. Sadly, we don't act like Jesus. We don't treat people with kindness. Oftentimes, as church people, we will pounce on someone when they sin. We delight in correction. Not for the sake of correction, but for the sake of hurting them or beating them down. One author wrote, "Some people have such a passion for righteousness that they have no room left for compassion for those who have failed." Where are you? It's one thing to be righteous and say, we have to live right. And Scripture talks about that. But then when you see a brother who's fallen, you see a sister who is not living rightly, do you enjoy confronting them? Some people do. We have no compassion for them. Yet we want compassion when we've fallen, when we've been broken, when we've done something that is not righteous. I want you to notice something in Scripture. The only people that Jesus deals harshly with are the religious people. He's kind to everyone else. He's kind to the blind. He's kind to the hungry. He's kind to those who come to him and say, "Hey, will you heal my daughter? Hey, will you bring her back to life?" He is kind to them. The only people he's harsh with are the people who should know better. The people who've been reading Scripture, the people who've been going to church their whole life, the people who should know who God is and totally missed him. That's who Jesus says you need to get right. That's who Jesus deals harshly with. Everyone else, there's this kindness. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, Paul's writing to Timothy and he says this. He says, "The Lord's slave must not quarrel, but must be gentle with everyone, able to teach and patient." Be gentle, be patient. You want to be described as a child of God? This is what you should look like. But our nation, man, it's so harsh. If you don't believe that, watch the news, the cable news particularly. You will see one side that's harsh toward the other, and then you can go and look at another cable channel and see how that side's harsh toward a different. And all we do is fight back and forth, and we're so harsh. And regardless of your opinion, you should say, maybe they deserve it. Well, you know what? The other side thinks you deserve it. And neither one of us are displaying the fruit of the Spirit of kindness toward one another. Believers must be characterized by this kindness, by this gentleness. Keller said this. He says, "Kindness is the ability to serve others practically in a way which makes me vulnerable." I'm able to serve someone practically in a way that makes me vulnerable. In other words, I'm willing to be hurt by serving someone else. I'm willing to open myself up by serving someone else. And interestingly, the opposite of kindness is envy. I want that. It leaves us unable to rejoice in someone else's joy. That's not kindness. That's envy. And know this, that a counterfeit of kindness is the manipulation of good deeds. You try to manipulate someone else to do something good, or you have good deeds in an effort to manipulate someone to do what you want them to do because you're trying to get them to give you something or be nice to you or something else. That's not true kindness. That's manipulation. So as believers, as Christians, do we show kindness or gentleness? Are we described as patient people with others? And lastly, Paul gives us in this list of characteristics is the characteristic of goodness. It's interesting here, goodness, the term good comes from means godlike. Not godlike in power, but godlike in personality. Good like God. When you hear that, it may change your mind on what you consider good. Goodness is a quality that's represented by the highest moral and ethical values. And notice this, the values of Scripture and the values of God often are counter to the values and the ethics of society. Just this week, there was a state senator who was talking about abortion. And the state senator, not from Louisiana, made the statement is we can either kill him now or we can kill him later. Either we can kill him in the womb or we could kill him later. That is society's moral and ethical standards. God says, I value life, I value all life, and you need to respect all life, whether in the womb or out of it. Sometimes God's morals and God's ethical values are very different than society's. And guess what? If you are a believer, if you're a Christian, if you are someone who follows God, your moral and ethical values must line up with God's, not society's. Which means sometimes you're going to be counter to society and they will treat you illy. They will come after you. They will hate you because your values are God's values instead of their values. And will you practice goodness? Will you practice patience? Will you practice kindness and show them that you are a believer? Ephesians 5, Paul's talking about, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is of for the fruit of the light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. If you want to be like the Spirit, you need to be good. Goodness is love in action. Talk about God being good. He is good because He has put His love in action. Do you put your love in action? Does your love give? Is it described as good? Jesus preached to let your light shine before men so that they could see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Let your light shine before men so that they will see the fruit of goodness and glorify God. Guess who doesn't get glorified? The tree. Nobody says that's the best apple tree in the world. Our goodness should not give us glory, but should give God glory. Goodness could be described as integrity. The fact is that we are the same person in every situation. And the counterfeit to goodness is saying, I'm just going to get this off my chest, so that it makes yourself feel better or it makes you look better. That's not goodness. It goes back to manipulation. So this morning we looked at these three fruit. We looked at this second cluster, if you will. Now again, we should put off all nine of these. But it's interesting how they interact with one another. The first three, how we relate to God and demonstrate it to others. Love, joy, peace. Today is how we directly relate to one another. With patience, with kindness, with goodness. So let me ask you, is your life defined by patience, kindness, and goodness? Would someone look at the fruit that you put off and say, I see patience, I see their kindness, and I see their goodness. And the way they see that is how you treat one another. How are you treating others? This morning, as you have an opportunity to respond to this morning, we give you a chance to go to God, and maybe you need to repent and say, God, I've not demonstrated patience, kindness, or goodness. Maybe you need to give your life to Him just to begin with, because you cannot demonstrate these fruit of the Spirit without being a child of God. And maybe you need to do that today. Maybe you need to follow His command of baptism, and maybe you want to make that decision to do that today. Whatever God's telling you to do, whatever God's impressed on you in the last few minutes, will you respond to Him? Spend time with Him. Speak to Him. And let Him transform your life, so that you are characterized. People look at you and say, his character is, or her character is, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. So guys, play. Will you stand and respond to God? Father God, we come to You. We thank You that You have provided the Spirit for us, that He indwells us, that He teaches us and helps us understand Scripture and convicts us on how we should live our life. And when we do wrong, when we sin, He helps to correct us. But God, I pray that we would let Him live through us, and that we would be characterized by these fruit, especially these fruit we talked about today of patience and kindness and goodness. Father, I pray Your church, that this church, that Emmanuel, that the people that are here would be known for these three. That they would see our fruit and give You glory. That we wouldn't give in to the counterfeit of these, but that we would practice true patience, kindness, and goodness. And that when people eat from this fruit, they want to know You. In Your name we pray. Amen.